You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the Director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we're with you every first Wednesday of the month from 9 to 10 a.m. to discuss issues that make a difference in your life. And I'm so excited because we have some terrific guests lined up today, friends. In the studio, we've got Bob Gilligan, who is the Executive Director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and Bob basically spearheads the issues of presenting the Catholic Church's position on various legislative issues to all of our legislators in Springfield, in both the legislative and executive branches, which can sometimes be very challenging. But Bob does a great job with that. Bob Gilligan, welcome.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you with us and have you in studio. This is really a privilege here. And on the phone, we have Deirdre McQuaid. And Deirdre is the primary spokesperson for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops on Abortion and Related Life Issues. And she has a Bachelor of Arts from Bryn Mawr College and two master's degrees from Notre Dame. And she has an extensive background of experience on a wide range of issues. Deirdre, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Mary Louise and Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning. And you know, I'm really excited because for the first half of our program this morning, we're going to be talking about something very controversial, and that is voting. And I'm sure that some of our listeners are going to have a question or comment. And so I invite your questions and comments at 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. So for the first half of the program, we're going to be talking about this. And then in the second half, we're going to get into 40 Days for Life. Friends, I'm not sure if you saw the front page of the Metro section of the Chicago Tribune on Friday, September 26th, but the 40 Days for Life vigil, which is going on right now in front of the Family Planning Associates abortion mill on the north side, was featured. And there was an article, Catholic Leaders Focus on Abortion as Election Nears. It was, you know, this, the hook they used, it was sort of not particularly relevant because we did 40 Days for Life last year as well. So it's not really specifically about the election, although as I said in a quote, which is in the article, certainly the election is one of our intentions. But the main purpose is to end abortion. And we'll have Wayne Smith with us in the second half of the program to talk about being a 40 Days for Life day captain. That is coordinating prayer in front of an abortion facility, having at least two or three people out there at a time every hour for 24 hours. And we are doing that round the clock from September 24th to November 2nd. It's really exciting. We're excited to be collaborating with a lot of different pro-life organizations on this. Pro-Life Action League, Illinois Right to Life, Couples for Christ, Knights of Columbus, and the Women's Center. So it's very exciting. And before we go any further, too, very important to mention that this morning is the feast day of St. Therese of Lisieux, the little flower who I have a special devotion to, and Alicia Torres, who is our producer, is going crazy. She is very excited about St. Therese. So we thank St. Therese for her example of great virtue and sacrificial love, loving through doing small things with great love. So we remember that in our lives of service to the Lord today and every day. All right, so Bob, lots of exciting things going on with faithful citizenship. First of all, why should Catholics be involved in the political process?
Well, one of the things the document talks about, it says that responsible citizenship is a virtue. And
document is that?
In the document called Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship, which is something the bishops put out, I think it was like in December of last year. And they put out this document every 4 years. But this year, I think it's a little, I think it's improved a little more. I think some of the criticisms in years past, I think the bishops took into account with the release of the document back in December. And it, really what it's talking about, it's trying to stress that concept of forming your conscience importance in terms of not only how you vote, and I think that's one of the things that we should talk about today, is this is more than about voting. This is really what happens after Election Day and up until the next Election Day. You know, we always hear Catholics and we hear a lot of people of goodwill talking about, well, there's no good candidates to vote for, and then what do I do? And nobody really reflects the true values. I think what Faithful Citizenship is calling us to do is to say, you know, beyond after Election Day, how do we get involved in the political process? Let's get more engaged. So maybe next time there's a better choice. So it's more than about voting. It's about really how you lead your life. It's about involvement in the political process. It's about trying to enact change. And that's really, you know, hearkening back to what Vatican II was talking about. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about how to transform society. How do we get society to reflect our gospel values? And that's what we're really called to do. You know, we've been doing these presentations out in the parishes. And it's really interesting, you know, we get these questions sometimes about from people saying, well, you know, maybe we should be imposing our values on the secular society. And that is absolutely false. It's bunk. Because if you look at really what the founding of our country is all about, our democracy, the founding fathers were urging us. They were compelling us. They wanted people of moral virtue. They wanted religion in the public square. They felt that a more engaged public, a more virtuous public, would only enhance the debate, not detract from it. And, you know, if you think about it, that's exactly what we should be doing. Yes. Catholics, Protestants, all people of goodwill, all people who are have you know, who are acting on their conscience should be involved in the public square, trying to transform society as we are called to do as Catholics. I think we get a better product. I'd argue that's one of the problems we have today. I think we have right now kind of a self-censoring going on. We have a lot of people that are not engaged in the political process. They feel like, well, you know, that's kind of my that happens at Mass on Sunday morning. They don't take those values that they're hearing in the gospel, and they don't do it in the public square. And so in essence, what are we left with? We're left with a secular debate. I mean, how are we going to advance society with absence of religious values? I mean, I think that's what we're seeing. I mean, look, there's not a listener out there that should be proud of our elected officials over the last 7 to 10 days, this financial crisis. I mean, look at what we have going on here. We have people that are involved with making a decision who are looking at, you know, the self-interest of themselves and about those with power. And Faithful Citizenship is saying, you know, wait, it's about people without power. What are we doing about the common good? It talks about the common good and those sort of things. So that's where really we need to be going, is we need to talk about the sum total of conditions that allow people to achieve their full potential, the common good. What does that mean? It starts with life. We have to start there, because without life, we don't have anything else to talk about. So we need laws that protect life. We need laws that protect people to achieve their full potential, healthcare, housing, food, nutrition, basic human needs. So that's what that's really where we're coming from as Catholics, and that's what we're urging other people to inform themselves what the document says, and hopefully, you know, we'll have a better choice 4 years from now.
Great, great. We're talking with Bob Gilligan, the Executive Director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and Deirdre McQuaid, the Assistant Director for Policy and Communications for the Secretariat of Pro-Life Activities at the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. So, Deirdre, we have seen this document evolve, I think, Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship. At one time, some people might have criticized the document that it stated that all issues were equal, essentially. But that criticism cannot be made anymore. It's really it really does a good job of highlighting that there is a hierarchy of issues.
There's a hierarchy of moral principles, or our moral principles, I should say, our moral theology informs the way we look at all these issues, right? And it forms our conscience and enables our virtue of prudence to act well in making political decisions as well as cultural decisions, decisions for our families, etc. So. But to be sure, this document is very clear. It speaks of the need to, in the public sphere as well as the private, to do good and avoid evil, and to in no way promote evil. And then it goes on to describe how there are different kinds of evils. There are some things that are absolutely never, ever justifiable, and moral theology calls that an intrinsic evil. It never serves human good, and we unfortunately have many intrinsic evils to be grappling with right now.
Yes.
Abortion is by far the predominant direct attack against human life here in the United States, and unfortunately throughout the world. It is widespread, it is common, it is widely accepted as something that is even maybe part of basic health care, which we reject.
Yes.
Pregnancy is not a disease, and abortion doesn't heal it. Pregnancy is a sign of a healthy body working in a healthy way. Fertility is not a pathological condition. So
that's right, which our society often treats it as, right?
Right, so pregnancy is a sign of a woman's health. Now, many other things may not be healthy about the situation into which that child was conceived, mm-hmm. but abortion doesn't solve that.
Yes.
So there's a deep confusion in our culture. Same thing with end-of-life challenges. People are suffering, they're vulnerable, they may be in a lot of pain. But reaching out and asking a doctor to help you kill yourself is not merciful, is not wise. We need to care for the patient and treat the pain. Kill the pain, not the patient.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I like that. Kill the pain, not the patient.
Kill the pain. We are all about palliative care. We're all about accompanying somebody through that very difficult and challenging, but also a time for real grace in a person's life, mm-hmm. that we pledge as Catholics and others of goodwill never to abandon those who are suffering and vulnerable. But these other policies that threaten human life, such as the initiative in Washington State, putting before the voters of Washington State right now whether or not to legalize assisted suicide, That's a false choice. That shouldn't even be before them, but
right,
it is.
Right, absolutely. We need to head to a break. We're talking with Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois and Deirdre McQuaid of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. And we welcome your questions and comments at 312-751-1979. We are talking about voting, political involvement, lots of things going on over the next 35 days before the election. And we want to get your thoughts on this. And so give us a call, 312-751-1979. We'll be right back here on Life Talk on the Catholic Community of Faith, Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
Whether they are young or old, hungry or addicted, homeless or friendless, Catholic Charities walks with its clients, bringing them help and hope. For 90 years, Catholic Charities has empowered families and individuals of all races and religious backgrounds in communities throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. Help Catholic Charities fulfill its mission to serve the poor and underprivileged. If you can help, visit our website at catholiccharities.net or mail a donation to Catholic Charities, 721 North of South Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Thank you.
Ande vida, cuerpo del Señor.
Experience La Santa Misa Dominical, the Sacred Sunday Mass, televised every Sunday at 8 a.m. on the Azteca America Network, WOCK-TV, and its affiliate stations. Here's the director of the Archdiocesan Office for Hispanic Catholics, Father Claudio Diaz.
The Spanish-language televised Mass feels a hunger for the gospel message. It's delivered in the audience's native tongue and in their own cultural context. It's a beacon of hope for our Spanish-speaking faithful who find it difficult or impossible to attend Sunday Mass.
Your help is needed to keep the Spanish-language Mass on the air. Please send donations to Spanish Mass, Post Office Box 1979, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. That's Spanish Mass, Post Office Box 1979, Chicago, Illinois, 60611.
The televised Mass has been a tremendous outreach for the growing Latino population throughout the Chicago area. Thanks for your support to this important ministry, and may God bless you.
We are back here on Life Talk on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Mary Louise Curry, and I'm talking with Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois and Deirdre McQuaid of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. And we are talking about voting. And we welcome your questions and comments, friends at 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. Alicia Torres is behind the glass, and she is eagerly awaiting your phone call. Maybe you're wondering, hey, you know, how do I apply these principles now to, you know, my decision making? Maybe there are things out there that have you confused. Maybe we want to hear also about your parish's voter education activities. What are things that your parish is doing in order to educate people and help form their consciences on these issues? So we'd love to hear from you at 312-751-1979. And before we continue our conversation, I just wanted to mention that this Saturday, October 4th, is the Students for Life of Illinois Conference at Northwestern University. And the first conference of this kind was held last year at DePaul University. It was a huge success, and we're very excited about this year's conference. It's going to be featuring Star Parker as the keynote speaker. She is a nationally syndicated columnist and pro-life activist, and the conference is for college students and teens. So if you're interested, if you'd like to share this information with a son or a daughter who might be interested, you want to get more information, you can call the Respect Life office at 312-751-5355. And Alicia, can you also go to the website? Is that on the website? Is that on the respectlifechicago.org website? Or it's on the Students for Life website, it looks like. So so if you just Google Students for Life of Illinois, it'll come up there. So, and we'll put that up on respectlifechicago.org as well, our office's website. So we're talking about voting. Very, very important. And not just voting, but political, continued political involvement, which is also key. Now, Deirdre, before we went to break, we were talking about how some issues are more emphasized than others. And Bob, you wanted to bring up that there is a certain passage in the document, Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship, that is from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, that addresses that.
Yeah, it does. In the document, Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship, you look at, like, first of all, I'd urge all listeners to look at the document, read it. It's on the USCCB website, faithfulcitizenship.org. But paragraph 28 talks a little bit about, I think it provides some clarity for some people. And I don't think this particular section was in the last edition of Faithful Citizenship. And it says there's basically two temptations in public life. The first temptation is to say that there's no ethical distinction between the issues. Mm-hmm. And we do, some of us fall into that trap. The second temptation is, and I think it's equally as important, is to say that recognizing that not all issues have the same ethical weight, you just can't walk away from those that have less mm-hmm. ethical weight than others. So I think for Catholics, that's a conundrum. That's hard for us to kind of get our minds around, because it's so easy just to tell us. It would be very easy for the bishops to put out a document telling you who to vote for and how to vote. I mean, anybody could do that. And the thing we try to point out in some of the presentations we do in the parishes is that, you know, for like it or not, you know, the Catholic faith is an adult religion. It's hard to sort these things out. But we need to keep in mind that not all these issues have the same ethical weight, but we can't walk away from the others. And I think one of the nice things we bring to the table, hearkening back to our previous conversation, is when we go into the public square, we do bring a full range of teaching that addresses a lot of these social problems that we have.
Yes.
And I fundamentally believe, we were talking about this last night, I fundamentally believe that if we could lead our lives more in accordance with the values that we're espousing, mm-hmm. a lot of our societal problems would not exist.
Right.
I mean, if there was more virtue and chastity of individuals within marriage, I think we would see a lessening of the poverty rates. I think we would be more willing. You know, the Pope talked about this far more eloquently than I can. He talked about our moral obligation to feed children is also linked to our moral obligation to protect the unborn.
Hmm.
He's right. If you have a full understanding and appreciation for the life and dignity of the human person, I think that really enhances the way we look at it, the moral framework. You know, like I said, you know, this controversy in Washington, look at the values that are being communicated there. It's all about me, me, me. I think what faithful citizenship and as Catholics we're trying to talk about is it's a different framework. It's
yes.
based on the life and dignity of the human person. If we really, really were able to look at that in the lens that we need to and evaluate decisions based on what's in the best interest of life and dignity of the human person, I defy anybody to prove me wrong that we wouldn't have a better society. We would.
Absolutely.
So I think we need to keep all those things in mind as we go to vote.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, Deirdre, I know that you guys are very involved with opposing a very damaging bill called the Freedom of Choice Act, which one of the political candidates for president is a big advocate of. Could you tell us a little bit about that bill and where things are at with that and everything?
Sure. Cardinal Regali just addressed this in his statement for this coming Sunday, Respect Life Sunday, the first Sunday of Respect Life Month, and he raised this issue in his statement saying, "Today we face the threat of a federal bill that, if enacted, would obliterate virtually all the gains of the past 35 years and cause the abortion rate to skyrocket."
Mm.
This is called the Freedom of Choice Act and has a great number of congressional sponsors, some of whom have pledged to act swiftly given the chance in January 2009. FOCA does two things. It's a short bill, but it has a sweeping effect. It establishes abortion as a fundamental right, which goes beyond Roe versus Wade,
mm-hmm.
throughout the 9 months of pregnancy, and then forbids any law of policy that could interfere with that right or, quote, discriminate against it in public funding programs. So, and programs that reach out to women who are pregnant. So basically, it establishes abortion not only as a fundamental right, but as a privilege, something that needs to be paid for by taxpayer monies in every single state. And so abortion
yes.
would be officially endorsed by federal law.
Yes.
That is not our state under Roe versus Wade, which is bad enough.
Yes.
But this would bulldoze over laws that require parents to be involved or notified by a minor daughter's abortion decision. It requires all states to allow partial birth and other late-term abortions. It would subject women to abortions by non-physicians or physicians who have lost their license.
Wow, that's crazy. And you know, there was a recent Harvard study, I think, which showed that these incremental laws like parental notification and informed consent have saved tens of thousands of lives every year in individual states. Mm-hmm. So to think about wiping all of those away, it just seems crazy. And it seems like a terrible thing for parents as well. I mean, even if a parent is in favor of abortion, I can't imagine any parent not wanting if their 16-year-old daughter is, you know, being exploited by a 20-something-year-old guy, because most teen pregnancies are fathered by men older than 20, and then he takes her to an abortion facility to erase the evidence of his crime and the parents don't know. I mean, I just can't imagine any parent wanting that, no matter what their position is.
Yeah, laws that don't support parents.
Right, yeah. Right.
It also would violate the conscience rights of doctors, nurses, and hospitals. It would put tremendous pressure on Catholic healthcare workers and institutions to get out of the business of caring for women who are pregnant, which would be terrible.
Hmm.
We really need conscience protection. That's what Health and Human Services was working hard on right now, to ensure that no doctor, nurse, pharmacist would be forced to participate in either providing or referring for services that destroy human life.
Yes.
So-called services.
Now, what can people do to make their voices heard in opposing this Freedom of Choice Act? And where can people go for more information on that, Deirdre?
They can go to nchla.org. That stands for the National Committee for a Human Life Amendment, nchla.org. There's an action alert there. There are ads posted, all the talking points that you would need to call your congressperson, your representative, and also both of your senators to say, pledge now to oppose FOCA. There's no scheduled vote on this right now. Congress is very busy with other issues, but we want to raise this issue before them and say, this is a threat on the horizon. It's a very real one. It's the most extreme version of FOCA that's ever been proposed. And by the way,
wow.
It was proposed the day after, get this, the Supreme Court decided to uphold the ban against partial birth abortion in April 2007.
Oh, my goodness. And that decision has had, I mean, at least 80% support among Americans. I mean, such a small percentage of the population thinks that, you know, partial birth abortion should be permitted. That's crazy.
If I could raise one other issue as well with regard to voting, this is also in Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship, paragraph 37, something I very seldom hear anyone talking about, and Bob, maybe you can shed some light on this too, is that in addition to learning the morality of the issues, we really need to educate ourselves as Catholic voters on assessing the candidate's commitments, character, integrity, and finally their ability to influence a given issue. The executive branch isn't just one person in office. That person appoints hundreds of people in the government, maybe thousands, I don't know the exact number.
Yeah.
But this person, and I'm not speaking to any particular candidate, that role is so influential in forming all the different agencies of the United States. I used to live with a woman who was a political appointee, and she helped me understand this, that that's the great impact of the executive branch. Judicial appointments that are more temporary to the various federal agencies. And so while we might be comparing one person to another, or a vice presidential candidate and presidential candidate to their counterparts, that's one part of what it means to elect the executive branch into office, but it's only the tip of the iceberg.
You know, Deirdre, actually, that's a good point. You're right. Just off the top of my head, the president alone, I think we've seen this with President Clinton, President Bush, they've both changed the policy with regard, I think it's called, the short title is the Mexico City policy, which deals with public funding for abortions for overseas agencies that we fund or do not fund. So the president has wide latitude on Mexico City, and that's been changed a few times depending on who's in office. I would hearken it, though, I would bring it back to Illinois, where we've seen here in Illinois our governor issue executive orders that we know where they came from, but we can see just the broad power that he has, and as you said, to appoint department leaders to this particular state agencies with a certain philosophy that reflects his or hers, and how that impacts us in terms of our ability to influence that, which is really hard to do because they have such wide latitudes of power. We face some things here with regard to executive orders on embryonic stem cell research. We faced an executive order with regard to the provision of a Plan B in pharmacies, an issue that we had to fight. And the legislature had really no involvement at all. It's very difficult to fight. So you're right. I think Catholics also need to become aware of, and that's a subjective evaluation, as all this is. But I think we can tell by their public statements and by some of the comments they've made what they would do when they were in office. It's impossible to tell exactly, but I think one can make an educated guess as to the policies that they will enact and the general direction they will go.
And the voting record, which I think is pretty clear. But what's interesting, too, is to see the makeup of the Supreme Court. And the fact is that we are really one justice away from overturning Roe. And if Roe is overturned, it doesn't mean abortion will be banned tomorrow, but it means it's a crucial first step in limiting abortion so that it's not available throughout all 9 months of pregnancy in every state, in this country. So it's really important. And now that we are on the cusp of this, what could be a very positive change for our country, some organizations, like, for example, Catholics and Alliance for the Common Good, whose materials are banned in our archdiocese and others, some groups are seeking to minimize the importance of legal protection for the unborn. And they're saying, we need to instead focus on Medicaid funding and things like this, which I'm all in favor of Medicaid funding. I think that's great, but it's not an either-or proposition. It's absolutely legal protection of the unborn is absolutely necessary. It undermines all other human rights if some people are considered to be less than human.
Yeah. I think Cardinal George wrote that statement recently back in September when he talked about, public policy, public officials that favor the legal status quo on abortion are not working to advance the common good. And he warned public officials that they need to examine their conscience a little more in terms of where they stand on that issue.
Yes.
I love what the bishop said in their document several years back, Living the Gospel of Life, The Virtues We Need. And Mary Louise, I've heard you use this language before of the house of human rights, right? The foundation of which, if the person is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the living house of God, quote, then these latter issues, namely protecting the poor, advocating for housing, health care, etc., all fundamentally important issues. But these issues fall logically into place as the crossbeams and walls of the house based on the house's foundation, namely the right to life. So all direct attacks on innocent human life, such as abortion and euthanasia, and now since that document was written, the threat of embryonic stem cell research, they all strike at the house's foundation.
Yes.
And so, as John Paul II said, the commandment never to kill establishes a fundamental minimum which we must respect and from which we must start out in order to say yes, as he says, over and over again, a yes which will gradually embrace the entire horizon of the good. So we cannot neglect the legal protection of the unborn, of the vulnerable elderly, of the handicapped.
Absolutely, absolutely, because that is the foundation, and that's a great visualization. We actually need to head to a break. We're here with Deirdre McQuaid from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and Bob Gilligan from the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and we're going to keep them for one more segment. Are you guys able to do that? 10 more minutes?
Sure.
Be happy to.
Great. And so then we'll be right back, friends, on Life Talk here, and we welcome your questions and comments. We're very surprised at how quiet the phones are today for such a controversial topic. We want to hear from you, and this is your last opportunity on this issue. 312-751-1979. What kind of parish education are you guys having at your parishes on these things? What are your personal thoughts about voting and political involvement? We welcome all of that at 312-751-1979. We'll be right back.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, and I'm here with Bob Gilligan from the Catholic Conference of Illinois and Deirdre McQuaid from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. We're talking about voting, matters of public policy, and the Freedom of Choice Act. And we welcome your questions at 312-751-1979. We have Rosie on the phone from Grays Lake. Rosie, thanks so much for calling Life Talk this morning.
Hi. I just had two quick questions. One, who drafted this FOCA Act? Was that Senator Obama? And then the second question is, once it becomes, it's pertinent now, but once it becomes really where we need to be calling in, would the Catholic Conference be putting out in the Chicago Archdiocese a legislative alert like they did for the House Bill 5615? Because it was so helpful to get it in a bullet point format to pass out at church and in the bulletins?
Great questions. Thanks, Rosie.
Sure. Rosie, I'll take the first part, and maybe Deirdre can take the second. We will, at the appropriate time. I think on this one, we will rely on the USCCB in Washington to kind of give us the timing of when the best time to put out an alert is. But yes, we will be doing that. We'll be taking their materials and sending it out.
Excellent. Thank you.
Great. Yep. And who did originate the Freedom of Choice Act? Deirdre, do you know that?
Jared Nadler from New York is the primary sponsor of this 2007 version of the bill. Unfortunately, it has 104 co-sponsors.
How many
Catholics?
Oh, my
goodness.
You're in Illinois? I think
we're two for two.
we're two.
On the Senate
Jackson,
side.
Jackson, Gutierrez, Emmanuel, Davis, and Shakowski.
Shakowski, wow. Yeah. And is that, so it's in the House? Is it in the Senate also, Deirdre, or just in the House?
Let me scroll.
I think Boxer's got it.
Yes, Boxer in the Senate.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, next let's go to Nick, who also has a question about the Freedom of Choice Act. Nick, thanks so much. It's just going to take a moment to pull him up real quick. Okay, Nick, thanks so much for calling Life Talk this morning. I understand you have a question about this bill as well.
Kathy.
Oh, Kathy, hi.
Oh, okay, we're going to Kathy first. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, Kathy, thanks so much for calling this morning from
Thank
Chicago.
Thank you for taking my call. I just don't know what to do. I have been a Democrat all my life, and I believe in their way of doing things, except abortion.
Common
and
problem.
And I'm going to go into that booth, and I'm going to vote Republican just for that one reason, because I don't want to lose the right to go to communion. Now, is this right for me to feel this way? I don't think this should be an issue at all. It's a moral issue, not a political issue.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help me? I am so desperate.
Kathy, where do you live?
On northwest side of Chicago.
Mm. I think what you're expressing is a common sentiment. I hear it all the time. And it's unfortunate that it seems that at least on the national level, and when I say national level, I'm talking about in the United States Congress.
Yes. Yes.
And it's not true for everybody. We have to be very careful about that.
Yes.
There are pro-life Democrats. Bill Lipinski is one of them. Dan Lipinski, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Dan Lipinski's great.
And so it's not true to make blanket statements, and not all Republicans are pro-life, and we've learned that the hard way too.
Yeah.
But I understand your frustration. I'll make a reference back to faithful citizenship. I'm going to ask you to kind of keep your frustration on the front burner. And
okay.
I think until enough people like yourself get involved and express that sentiment to the powers that be, that will only result in that's the best way to try to change things.
Okay.
So I would urge you to keep at it. I don't know who your state rep and your state senator is. There's a good chance that person might come down on more of the pro-life side.
Do you know who that is, Kathy? By any chance, your state representative would,
senator? You know, I'm so shook up. I.
You know, Kathy, I would say, why don't you hold on the line? Maybe Brian can get your address. We could find it out for you.
Oh, great. I know who it is, but I just can't think right now.
Yeah. I would also encourage you and others who feel the same way to use that energy also to invest in long-term party politics renewal. Because it's both about speaking truth to those who are already in power and calling for the Democratic Party to fundamentally change its terrible stance on abortion. I mean, it got worse this year. It didn't get better.
No, it didn't.
They dropped the reference to wanting to make abortion rare. I mean, it's bad in several different ways. But please do invest in and encourage young people, maybe in local politics, mm-hmm. those who are still going to school, to think about serving the common good in elected office, and to do so with integrity and embracing all of our Catholic values. I think there is hope for transforming the political sphere, but it's going to take a generation or two to get there. So
there are good people out there, Kathy. I think it's our job. We just got to find them and support them and encourage them to do the right thing. There are good people out there.
Amen.
We just got to cultivate that relationship, and that's how we change things.
Yeah.
Great. Kathy, thank you so much for your phone call.
Thank you.
We're going to move to our next and final caller for this segment, Nick. Nick, thanks so much for calling Life Talk this morning.
You're welcome. With respect to the FOC Act, this Freedom of Choice Act, there are at least 40 Republicans in the Senate the United States Senate, if they were serious about stopping something like this, if it ever came up to a vote, they could filibuster it. They could filibuster it with ease. Democrats have used the filibuster against pro-life legislation several times in the past. I don't see why they don't even consider this. Number two, George Bush is considered to be a pro-life president. For 8 years, George Bush has not even touched the funding for Planned Parenthood, which is in the hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayers' money, which Planned Parenthood turns around and uses to kill helpless babies. I just never hear any discussion on these matters. All we hear is that George Bush and the Republican Party deserve our vote. It's been going on like this for 35 years, and frankly, it just is very disgusting.
Hmm. Good thoughts, Nick. Deirdre, certainly a filibuster would be on the table. I don't think Republicans have in any way said they would not filibuster FOCA, right? I mean, I would think that that would be a real target of filibuster.
The issue of filibuster has not come up just yet because it's not up for a vote right now, but this is partly why we're encouraging people to contact their Congress members so that they know that they have our support behind them in exhibiting real leadership opposing FOCA.
Right, absolutely. There's another point that Nick brought up as well, very interesting, about the Planned Parenthood funding. Now, I thought actually that was reduced through the transfer of funds from Title X contraceptive sex ed to SPRANs, or what's the new, but the abstinence education funding, actually. I thought that actually had been affected. Do either of you know anything about that?
I don't. Deirdre, do you? I don't know.
No, and the other thing I would say is, and I apologize, I haven't tracked that closely, not to defend any particular president or administration 100%, but one has to keep in mind, again, as I mentioned before, the structure of government. If there's a Congress that's working against you in many ways, there's only so much good one can accomplish as in the executive branch. So there's been a challenge, especially in the last 2 years, for the president to be able to do constructive, you know, more proactive pro-life efforts. So that's all part of the prudential, you know, as we assess how an administration has done with regard to pro-life, there's been a way in which hands have been tied from accomplishing more.
Sure,
but,
sure.
You know, to have the threat of a veto from a pro-life president, that's what's kept FOCA off the burner for these last 8 years completely, mm-hmm. has gone nowhere. But now supporters of FOCA and abortion advocates, NARAL, Planned Parenthood, they're starting to foam at the mouth a little bit, thinking this is now
nice.
Their moment. And
and I think, too, that it's important. I mean, I haven't, like, done extensive research, but off the top of my head, I can think of five major pro-life strides that have been made in the last 8 years. You know, there's the Mexico City policy, as Bob said, which is limits public funding of abortion overseas, which has a huge limiting effect. There's the limits put on embryonic stem cell research, that the government's not going to pay to kill more people, basically, for research. And I think that was very significant because it gave adult stem cell research and other types like reprogramming of skin cells time to really come to the force that it's not becoming significant anymore. There's the funding for abstinence education, which, although that biased Mathematica study has gone a long way in discrediting it, is impacting thousands of lives every year. And I see that positive impact in our Chicago public schools with some of the work that the Confederation of Spanish American Workers does, for example. There's the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, which is the federal bill. And there's the partial birth abortion ban. And you know what? That took me like 10 seconds to think of that. If I actually sat down and compiled and all of those things save, I mean, at least thousands, if not more, lives. So there's, you know, those are all very significant. And if I sat down for 10 minutes and typed things out, I could I could come up with a pretty long list. So there are good things. There's always more that can be done, certainly. We have a long way to go.
I was going to say that, too. And I think Nick does bring up a good point. And I think he points out that, you know, even though the perception is out there that the Bush administration has been good on pro-life activities, I think Mary Louise does bring up some good points about whether, but they're far from perfect. And I think we see that, I really see that at the state level, more so in terms of how the parties play out, is, you know, they're far from perfect, and there's a lot more work to do, even in if one terms an administration to be positive. So that, it just, I think, accents that need to become more involved, regardless of what party you're affiliated with.
Great. And, you know, we need to head to a break and close this segment with Bob and Deirdre. And I just want to bring up, too, there's a new document from the Catholic Bishops of Illinois, Our Conscience and Our Vote. And we encourage all parishes to put this in their bulletins, to distribute this widely. It's a message from the Catholic Bishops of Illinois. You can find that at CatholicConferenceofIllinois.org. And Bob Gilligan, Deirdre McQuaid, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And stay with us, friends. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk with Wayne Smith about 40 Days for Life here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Catholic Campaign for Human Development awards financial grants to community groups that fight poverty and support positive change. Here's a few of those groups. The Brighton Park Neighborhood Council.
We strengthen our community through foreclosure counseling, parent patrols, and a youth jobs program.
The Logan Square Neighborhood Association.
We want to repopulate the Lathrop homes to help preserve an affordable, diverse community.
Lake County United.
We are campaigning for a charter high school to serve our far northern suburbs.
The Latino Union of Chicago.
We provide safety equipment and training for workers struggling to make ends meet.
The Progress Center for Independent Living.
We support people with disabilities in suburban Cook County to help them maintain their independence.
The Target Area Development Corporation.
We just celebrated a summer without murders thanks to our violence prevention programs.
Make Chicago and its suburbs a better place to live. Support the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
We are called by name and we are shaped and formed by sacred scripture. Scripture is the theme of the Chicago Catechetical Conference on Friday and Saturday, October 17th and 18th at the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont.
We all need to have a deeper understanding of the Bible so it can nourish us and help us influence others. And we all need to be people of the Word. Vibrant prayer services and masses will frame each day of the conference.
There will be inspirational keynote addresses and a variety of presentations. Register for one or both days. Phone the office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry at 312-243-3700 or visit the conference webpage at www.catechesis-chicago.org.
That's 312-243-3700 or www.catechesis-chicago.org. We hope to see you in Rosemont on October 17th and 18th to learn, worship, and grow our faith together.
Welcome back to Life Talk here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, the Catholic Community of Faith. We have had a really exciting show so far talking about voting, conscience, the Freedom of Choice Act, and involvement in public policy issues. And now we're going to talk about another way of getting involved in transforming our culture, and that is through prayer and activism. And Chicago is one of more than 170 cities throughout the United States participating in 40 Days for Life. That's 40 days of prayer, 24 hours a day at an abortion facility to pray for an end to abortion. And I have in the studio with me Wayne Smith. And Wayne is our Parish Respect Life Coordinator for St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish. And Wayne does tremendous work. He's one of the most dedicated pro-lifers that I know. Truly an inspiration. And Wayne just does incredible things and is always out there praying in front of clinics and is a day captain for 40 Days for Life. Wayne, thanks so much for being with us on the show today.
Well, thank you, Mary Louise. It's great to be here and to hear all this positive, wonderful news in the midst of all the trials and struggles that pro-lifers go through.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, there have been so many exciting things happening in 40 Days for Life. Our kickoff vigil with Bishop Kane on Wednesday night drew more than 150 people, and the Tribune even wrote about it, the Chicago Tribune. And then Friday night, Couples for Christ brought more than 330 participants for a prayer vigil on Friday night. Lots of great things going on.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And 40 Days for Life, it's very clearly a movement of the Holy Spirit. And I understand it's even moving into countries outside of the United States. And it gives a parish an opportunity to participate directly in this battle for life. And many people pray and offer rosaries, which is very essential. Our Lady has told us, pray the rosary every day. And that's what I do, and that's what a lot of us do. So at the heart of everything is prayer. But sometimes you have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to get out onto the streets, and you have to be willing to make a statement in front of people who may never get to hear the statement otherwise.
And yes, absolutely. And what's the significance of praying in front of an abortion clinic? A lot of people, you know, myself included at one time, I wasn't even pro-life. So, you know, man makes plans and God laughs. The fact that I'm even in this job, you know, is amazing. And certainly I had a conversion. I know that you did also, Wayne. Amazing. But, you know, even when I was pro-life, I thought, oh, you know, praying in front of a clinic, that sounds scary, and will I get arrested, you know, and things like this. But what's the importance of, first of all, what is the experience like being out there? It's totally permissible. We've never had issues, you know, at all. The police on occasion will come. We've worked with them so that they just keep an eye on things and make sure everything's, you know, our people are safe, because we have elderly people and people with children out in front there, so... And we just work very well with the police, but they've just been great. We haven't had any incidents at all last year or this year or at any other vigils we've done. But why is it important to be out there praying? For people who are listening right now who thought, oh, praying in front of a clinic, you know, that sounds pretty radical.
Well, there's a lot of very important reasons, not the least of which is when our Lord Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, he had his mother there, he had St. John, and he had several others there. They couldn't prevent his death, and they weren't intended to, but they were there to say, I love you and I'm with you. And when he looked down from the cross, he saw people there. Well, we're there at the foot of the cross for these babies who are dying horribly. These babies, they have lives, they have souls, they feel pain, and they're being torn apart alive. And we are there as they are ripped from this life to be there and witness to them. And I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit that these babies know that there was somebody at the foot of their cross when they were dying in a terrible way. That's just one of the ways.
Yes.
And it's important. Another important way, of course, is that as these moms head into the abortion clinic, they see people in prayer. They see that there's another way, that there's something better than what they have in mind. And the prayer itself does work. There are people who are drawn back out of the abortion clinics by prayer. And there are people who stop and ask questions. And I believe that God has us there because there are some people who can be turned around. On the streets, we call them turnaways, where someone who is intent on an abortion stops long enough for a counselor to find out what it is that brought them there and show them that there is a better answer. And again, we see these women turn away, and we keep in touch with them. And in many cases, not all, but in many cases, they're full of joy. And you asked me a question another time about how many times have I come in contact with a woman who turned away from abortion.
Yes.
And after having her baby, regretted
mm-hmm.
her decision.
Mm-hmm.
I've asked several people who've been doing this for years. There have been women who have had to give up their babies for adoption, but in very few cases. In the majority of cases, no one has ever been able to tell me, I wish I had killed my baby,
once
they turned away.
Absolutely, absolutely. But there are so many women who have regrets. And even if not right after, or even 10 years later, you know, 30 years later, we have an extraordinary young woman now who used to work for Planned Parenthood, actually. She is post-abortive, had an abortion herself, but also counseled others to get abortions, many different people. And now she is a pro-life activist. I mean, it's extraordinary. But, you know, at first she thought, oh, you know, this is a good thing. And her case was typical. It was not, you know, a case of rape or incest, which is less than 1% of all abortions. It's like half of 1%. But it was just, you know, well, this isn't a good time for me to have a baby. You know, I don't want to marry the baby's father. So, and I don't want to have a baby. I want to have my career. You know, it's more of a typical case. And, you know, she was an activist. She was an ardent activist in that movement for many years, and now has had, you know, has come to grips with what she has done. So, so I think when people say, you know, I regret my abortion, the opposite of that is not, I don't regret my abortion, because very likely they will in the future if they don't now. You know, the opposite of that would be, I wish I'd killed my baby. And we don't hear that certainly very much at all from women, even who give birth under difficult circumstances. So Wayne, we only have a couple minutes left, but tell us a little bit about first of all, how people can get involved with 40 Days for Life. We have a website, 40daysforlife.com/Chicago. But you are a day captain for 40 Days for Life. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, well, at St. Stanislaus, we have active work in pro-life year-round. We do spiritual adoption. Right now we're doing the baby bottle project for the Women's Center in preparation for a celebration of life mass that we will have in the end of October.
Oh, great.
And so people have this on their mind a lot. And what I tell people is, here is an opportunity to get out and pray and witness in public. And all kinds of things tend to go wrong when you work in pro-life. you know, the enemy doesn't like us, and we like it that way.
That's funny.
But the simple answer is God wins, and our Blessed Mother, under the title of Our Lady of Guadalupe, is leading this battle. And so she helps to make God's plan come out right. And so we signed up about 45 people, many of whom had never been in an abortion clinic before.
Oh, praise God. That's amazing.
Yeah, and some of the people who are now in our Respect Life ministry were people who went to the abortion clinic last year for the first time, and now they're on the committee.
Oh, how wonderful. So it's a great way to actually reach out and get more people involved.
Yeah, when you see, there was one wonderful Hispanic woman, actually two, one woman who was actually going to have a kidney transplant. She had it yesterday.
Wow.
So she was there Saturday, a couple days before her kidney transplant.
Oh, my goodness.
With children, Los Niños de Fatima. And she was there because she saw how important it was, and for these children to be on their knees praying for these mothers. But one of the most stunning things for them was to see these women who were very, very visibly pregnant, going in to kill these babies.
Yes.
And one of them said, that woman looks like she's 7 months pregnant. How can she kill a baby? That baby could be born today. And she just went into this deep sadness. Mm-hmm. And I know that she will remain active. So when you understand the truth of abortion, it's hard to walk away from it. Those who don't really understand it are usually the ones who criticize most. Mm-hmm. But St. Stanislaus, we're consecrated to Our Lady, and she's leading pro-life. And Father Bush was like that. Father Garcia will be having on October 12th, after the 10 o'clock Mass, a procession of Our Lady's image for the month of the Rosary. Through the streets around the church, and everybody's welcome to that. But at the heart of everything is to take up the rosary. That's what Our Lady says. We pray, and that's the heart, but we also need to be out there witnessing. People need to say, when they see us on the street, they know that there's an alternative. And they may yell at us, which they do. They may say unkind things, which they do. And they may even threaten, which occasionally they do. But that's okay, because what happens is we pray for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Wayne, thank you so much for being with us on Life Talk today. And friends, if you'd like to participate in 40 Days for Life, you can call the Respect Life office at 312-751-5355 or go to www.40daysforlife.com/Chicago. And you can see what times need to be filled in right there. Wayne Smith, thanks so much for being with us on Life Talk.
Thank you, Mary Louise. It's always a pleasure to be with heroes.
You're so sweet. God bless you, friends. We'll see you next month.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.